This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us on the last day of the year for this program and for our community and the world at large. And we'll hear from His Honor, the Mayor-President of East Baton Rouge Parish, Kip Holden. Big stuff going on today and tonight in downtown Baton Rouge, ringing in 2014 with the first Red Stick Revelry. We'll talk about it with Kip Holden. Also, it's been a big year on Wall Street. The biggest year for the Dow Jones Industrial Average since 1996. Up around 26% with one day to go in the trading. And we'll talk with Andy Anderson, the financial analyst, who says he had a good year too. So all this coming, but now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. We're joined by His Honor, Mayor President Kip Holden, on the final day of 2013. And tonight and today, downtown Baton Rouge will be alive with festivity. And it's the first Red Stick Revelry. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Hello, sir. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and to your beautiful family.
And thank you, and to your family and to all of the listeners as well.
Indeed. Well, tell us what's going to happen. This is something that is a new thing, and my guess is that it'll be an old thing at some point, but it should start quite a tradition.
You know, it's kind of interesting, and you and I both can recall, we would sit around, and a lot of people would watch New York, and they would wait until the ball dropped and all of that, and Auld Lang Syne and all of that. So then, we came up with this idea, and I'd like to thank Ronald Gray in particular, that when we did the inauguration, we said, well, maybe we should do something exciting for Baton Rouge for New Year's. And so we came up with this idea of basically doing the Red Stick Revelry and having our own program and have the people here not go anywhere but downtown, and we'll have this great celebration that, frankly, that will start this morning and will go until like about 12:30 tomorrow morning. And so I'm trying to, I don't have any no-dos or anything like that. But it's going to be really exciting. We start off at 11 a.m., and for parents, we will have a lot of things starting off at 11 a.m. So they can bring the kids down early and let them see, because this part of the program will be, just like I said, bring the kids early. So in that part, you'll have hands-on activities for the kids with local artists and members of the Arts Council that will be doing a lot of different activities. Then you'll have storytelling by Robbie Wilson, and he will present the legend of the Red Stick for all ages. And I'll be there, since it said all ages.
Yep.
And then after we go from there, dance. Now, I'm really excited about the dance, man. The brother has no rhythm. So I'll be down there trying to learn the dance. But what they will have is a line dance for the Red Stick Revelry song created by Steve Hood and also Go Body. We'll have Go Body. And then we'll have a fitness studio so you can exercise this morning. That goes along with our healthy Baton Rouge and all the stuff that we're trying to do to make sure that people here are really healthy. And then also, it allows you to get in on your New Year's resolution early to say, I'm going to lose these pounds and all of that. added to that, we'll be saying Auld Lang Syne, and people say, what are the words to that song? Well, we will have those words scripted hopefully on the big sign for you and everything else, or you can listen to me or wear earplugs and mouth what I'm what it looks like I'm saying, and then we can have a great time with that. And then we will have the red stick. We'll raise the red stick this morning, 30 feet above that beacon that you see downtown.
Right.
And that'll be put in place until 1 minute before midnight when it begins to descend. And so all of that is going on, and I can tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun. For Baton Rouge, this is the first event, but it will not be the last event. And we just have so many different activities going. It's a family affair. And safety, if somebody's concerned about safety, our police department, which has the number one rating, I got to put that plug in for them.
There you go.
We'll be down. They'll be mixing throughout the crowd. So everybody, you know, just come down, have a great time. But, again, we have to give that warning. If you are going to drink, have a designated driver. And that's very, very important. So I tell you what, man, I'm looking forward to it, and especially when I find rhythm.
Well, at midnight, the 9-foot lighted stick will be dropped from the beacon in downtown's North Boulevard Town Square. It's a lot like New York's famed crystal ball that's viewed by millions on television every year. And, of course, this will be broadcast locally. And
From 11:40 until 12:10 a.m., you can catch it on WAFB-TV. And I can tell you, man, this is going to be a signature event because in Louisiana, and by the way, WAFB is also feeding this to the sister stations of Raycom. So frankly, over the United States, this will be broadcast by local stations based on whether or not they choose to pick it up. But just think about where we've come and all of the excitement and all of the things that will be going on, and it's happening right here in Baton Rouge. And I hope you don't mind if I say thank you to a couple of people, Jim. Raising Cane's, Coca-Cola, Visit Baton Rouge, The Bell of Baton Rouge, Mockler Beverage, Lasting Concepts, Cox Communications, Hollinsworth, Richards Ford, and I can tell you, Richards Honda and Entergy. And so we got, you know, which is great. We have local sponsors that are saying that we want to be a part of this and kick this thing off. And, boy, I tell you what, I'm really excited about it. I got my new hat. You know, that's because I'm having a bad hair day.
So you're doing the countdown?
Yeah, I'm doing the countdown.
Okay. Well, and it starts actually early today.
You start 11 o'clock. I would encourage people to bring the kids down and get there at 10:30. Don't worry about parking meters. Tell them this is the official day. The mayor is saying that if somebody put a parking ticket on your car, bring them to me, and I'll stand up and say, nope, this is our day. Free day in terms of parking and everything. We'll have the garages open. Free day for parking. But I can tell you, it's going to be absolutely magnificent because there will be people everywhere.
Well, also today on that big screen downtown, there's some movies that are going to be shown on the Town Square screens. Wizard of Oz at 1:30, Raiders of the Lost Ark at 3:00. And
yeah,
Sleepless
yeah.
in Seattle at 6:30. So
yeah, and then we're throwing in a surprise: the life of Kip Holden as a mayor.
Well, there was a great actor named William Holden.
That was my uncle, man. You know my family.
Yeah, he was my favorite. Sunset Boulevard, 1950. The Golden Boy, 1939.
I tell you what. You know,
Network, 1976.
What can I say? I mean, you're a genius. You know, they should give you a pay raise.
Well, Kip Holden will be in his element, and I would suspect there will be thousands of people with you tonight at midnight.
I got my little special hat I had made, not the top hat type, but my little special hat. I can't tell you what it is. I'll have that. I will not try to put that drape across me, because still I'm trying to work on the midsection here a little bit, and that would be ugly. and I don't want to scare anybody, but I can tell you, and let me also say this. Welcome to all of the people from out of town. I have seen so many people over the Christmas holidays from out of town that are here, and especially those who grew up here but haven't been back in a long time, and they're just kind of amazed at the changes that have occurred downtown.
Well, it's something that you have orchestrated, and tonight will be one of the fine events. And as I stated, I'm sure 10 years from now we'll be talking about the 10th anniversary of the Red Stick Revelry, and it's all started with Melvin Kip Holden, the man who had a vision.
Yeah, and Wendell Woods and Fat Hat Band. You know, I, as a matter of fact, tonight I will get up and sing with the band.
You can sing better than you dance.
Oh, man. That's all I can say is this. You know, when I finish watching my videos for the rest of this holiday, man, I will be a star. They will be calling for me to come on TV. Yeah, right. Yeah, they'll be calling, all right. Please keep them away from us.
You know, next month, Barry Manilow's coming to the River Center.
I tell you what. And this is a true story. I was going through one of the roughest times of my life, you know, when I was growing up. And the favorite Barry Manilow song, when it said, I made it through the rain, and I kept myself a perspective with others who been rained on too, I made it through. And I can tell you, I will be there. But just think about this song. And here's a guy who made a song that says, look, if you've been down in your luck, if you've had a hard time, don't think you're by yourself. I'm one of those guys that's been down in their luck. And yet, I made it through. And a lot of other people have made it through. And so, you know, I'll be there singing that song along with Barry Manilow, because I know the words.
Well, you've made it through more rain than most of us.
Yeah.
You've had
some time. But the great thing, I wish, you know, when people say make New Year's resolutions, you know, don't make it just for yourself. Make it for, like little Trevor who died of cancer. Say that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do more to help people who are ill, somebody who can't read, or kids who are having problems in school or in your own family. You know, make it for something that will last forever, not just, you know, because I lose 10 pounds, I'm a happy camper, but just, and then make it for a great city from whence we've come, and all of the wonderful businesses and people and the students and now the big water piece that we will have that will be worldwide. All of these great things that are going on, and more hotels going up. But again, go back to this. If you have a tough time in life, you can't bog yourself down in quicksand, because you will not get out. You know, you struggle, pull yourself up and say, I'm not going to let this one thing defeat me. I'm going to make a difference in my life, and then I'm going to make a difference in the lives of others, you know, in terms of eradicating a lot of things that we have, because there is going to be a cure for cancer. And there will be things like me right now, my voice, and which on the news yesterday, they said Louisiana is ranked almost at the top of the states with flu. And so we're having all of these different things, but you know what? We're gonna shake that flu away, and we're gonna have a great time.
Well, we'll spend a few more minutes with the mayor, talk to him about 2014 and a few other items, and then we'll hear from financial analyst and advisor, Andy Anderson. 297-5633 is your number outside the area. It's 877-217-5757. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Mayor President Kip Holden with us for a few more moments, and then he'll be down in Town Square where he'll be most of the day and throughout the night. And at midnight, he'll count it down as the 9-foot lighted red stick will be dropped from the beacon in Town Square in the first red stick revelry. Mark on Park. Good morning, Mark. You're on with Mayor Holden.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yes,
hello,
sir.
Mark.
Kip, I'd like to say that I appreciate everything you've done for Baton Rouge, and I'm a supporter of your work here. I've got two quick questions. One,
yes, sir.
Do you support the establishment of the city of St. George?
And sir,
two,
I will only talk about New Year's Eve.
Why have you been so silent on this issue?
I will give my State of the City address next week, and you'll hear my comments.
Do you understand the interest in this, though?
Yeah, but and I will make a definitive once and for all. I'll make a definitive point, but I'm not going to mix politics in today with what we're trying to do.
I got you. What about 2014? What do you
2014?
See?
It's kind of interesting, Jim. Last year, the State of the City address, I basically said to people, 2013 is going to be the best year in the history of Baton Rouge, and it is proven to be exactly right. Watch the changes that happen downtown, including I'm hearing from 1 to 2 hotels, grocery store, more apartments and living area, and the space downtown. I would tell people, they say, I should see a lot of people say, well, I love to live downtown. I would say you better hurry up and buy because the prices are going to go up. But then the Water Institute and John Davies and John Spain and the Chamber and all of us came to the state. We came up and donated the dock. But this is going to be so amazing that when I tell you ahead of its time, I'm on the a mayor's group that basically with mayors that border the Mississippi River. And we'll be studying so many different things. And then last week I saw a piece about Vietnam and Bangladesh and all of these different places, and including right here in Louisiana where some people are having water problems. We will have world-class scientists that will begin to look at these things and plan life out and make it better for people, not only in Louisiana, but people across the world. And at the same time, it'll be a learning center for our kids, Southern University, LSU, Community College, and our students. All will have a role in watching all of this transition and learning. And I will tell you, you know, it's going to be hard to replicate because the planning by John Davies and all of the others that have gone into this has been absolutely phenomenal. And so what they will have to do is talking about catching up. First, they better come and take a look at us, and then we'll start having sessions. And I'm going to tell John, start charging $1,000 an hour. That'll help us pay for all of this. But it's going to be really great. And then added to that, we have other companies that are inquiring about coming into Baton Rouge. You'll see the main library that'll be opening, and the library people have done a great job. We'll start to work on the library downtown, which is going to be great, and I can't tell you all the exciting things that you'll see there. The police department has already started this move out into Women's Hospital, but I'm going to tell you this. You will see the first ever a job fair. I talked to Bishop Ott and all of them, and I can tell you at St. Vincent de Paul, they are with Michael, the whole team. You'll see twice this next year the first ever homeless job fair, where we will be setting up, working with the bishop and everything, where we will set up, and those who are homeless can come in, and we encourage businesses all across Louisiana and other places to come and listen to these individuals and see whether or not they have a skill or a talent that they can use in order to put them to work and really be an example for the rest of the nation.
Well, Mr. Mayor, we thank you for joining us today, and glad it's been a good year for you, and we'll follow you in 2014 and look forward to frequent visits from you right here.
Yes, sir, and I promise not to do anything to my hair. The spot will be shiny tonight, but just remember, come down this morning at 11 o'clock. You'll see us raise the ball. And tonight, WAFB will be broadcasting from 11:40 to 12:10. Come and check everything out. And Happy New Year, everybody. And thank you for making Baton Rouge such a great city.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
297-5633 is your number. We switch gears. And it's been a good year on Wall Street. And a man who has followed the progress, and it has been progress this year. The bulls have been in abundance. Is Andy Anderson of BF Anderson and Company. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Jim.
And you did very well this year. The Dow was up 26% with a few hours to go for the year. That's a good year. Best year since 1996. How did BF Anderson and Company do?
We had a great year. We hit the ball out the park this year. We were up over 50%.
All right.
Had one of the best years we've had. Third quarter was one of the best quarters we've had. This has been a long time in coming. I mean, we've been in a 13-year bear market that it started in 2000, actually experienced two bear markets during this last 13 years, and it's just nice to finally see growth stocks kick into gear.
Well, it has been a good year, and you have been on this show a few times, but it's been several months, and, of course, the stock in the early part of the year that you were reaping the benefits from was Tesla. It didn't have a good fourth quarter, but is it still a buy?
Well, unfortunately, we decided to sell the stock. We first discovered Tesla around $27 a share, and we were going to buy there, but there was a negative New York Times article that turned out to be almost fraudulent. So that held us back, but we started buying at 56, and we sold at 180. Stock just, in our opinion, ran up too fast, too quick. I would definitely keep an eye on Elon Musk, and I would definitely keep an eye on Tesla, along with SolarCity and SpaceX, which are his other companies.
All right. Well, Tesla at one point got up to 194. It's now at 149.81 as we speak in real time. So it's come back a bit. It's a stock that went down to around 120 a few weeks ago, so it's coming back up despite some fires that have been of serious consequence and, of course, have been serious to the investing for Tesla. You have one of those vehicles. Are you wearing a flame retardant suit?
No, indeed. I love the car. It is a fantastic piece of technology. I tell my friends all the time it's nothing more than a computer on four wheels. It is so high-tech, and it's so advanced. I would say that it's got to be the way of the future. Electricity just makes so much sense as far as an alternative form of a power transmission. But if you wanted to discuss my thoughts on the market, we can move to that.
This was a stock that you were hot on. We at one point gave you the moniker Andy Apple Anderson, and now it's for a while it was Andy Tesla Anderson.
You know, I hate to say this because this sounds so crazy, but the main reason I decided to sell the stock was that Elon Musk was on the cover of Fortune magazine as the business person of the year, and I just felt that it was just getting too hot, too much publicity.
Well, it has come back some, so For those who got in when it went down to about 120, its seat just went up above 150. Now, Kevin Gallagher told me that you actually gave him a ride. I haven't had the privilege of riding in Andy's Tesla. How was the ride, Kevin, with Mr. Andy Apple Tesla Anderson?
It was smooth. It was silent. It was impressive. And that car has torque like you would not believe. Just from a passenger standpoint, I wasn't behind the wheel, but it was, wow, it was an experience.
How do you drive that when you go to Highland Coffees or to Julio's? Or is that for special occasions when you have passengers like Mr. Gallagher?
Oh, I beg people all the time just to drive the car. See, I'm trying to promote the Tesla story because I want Tesla to sell a lot of cars in this area so that they build these charging stations across the southeast, which we're supposed to get a charging station here in Baton Rouge next year.
Okay.
And they're going to put one in Mobile and one in Gulfport.
All right. Big winners this year. Netflix, a stock that took a beating in 2012, surged nearly 300%.
Yeah, we own it.
Okay. How long have you had Netflix?
We've had it for about a year.
Okay. Went up three times in 2013.
Big winner for us.
Why? It was the top performer in the S&P 500. Any particular reason why it went up?
Oh, they're revolutionizing television. I mean, they're revolutionizing the whole concept that you can now watch programming at any time that you want to watch it. It's really something that the young people like. I mean, I see a lot of 20-year-olds that, you know, it's $7 a month. It's a great deal. And we own the stock. We still own it. I tell you, the other big winner we've got is Boeing. You know, Boeing was the number one performing stock in the Dow 30 last year. And we're seeing a lot of activity right now in aerospace. We would be paying, if we were investors looking for opportunities, we would be taking a very serious look at the aerospace industry.
Of course, Boeing makes weaponry. Which stock in the Dow Jones Industrial Average performed the best in 2013? The contest was not even close. And Andy Anderson is correct. Boeing's shares rose more than 80%. 80% higher. The surge demonstrates that bad publicity may not affect share price movement at all. No company that is a component of the Dow could have gotten worse press, as the launch of the 787 Dreamliner it went terribly for Boeing. The front pages of most papers and online news sites blasted Boeing for releasing a plane with faulty batteries, which at one point was grounded for safety concerns. And for good measure, Boeing suffered more negative opinion in some quarters because of its battle with unions. And yet, the stock went up 80%. How do you explain that?
You know, it's just, look, it's disruptive technology. You've got to look for companies that are disrupting. If you really think about it, Boeing and Airbus pretty much have a duopoly on the industry. And, you know, with the advent of Priceline and with the advent of all the new technologies that are going with travel, I would say that, you know, just like the automobile industry with Tesla, where they're disrupting and coming up with new technologies, I would also be looking at another company that's kind of a sister company to Boeing called BE Aerospace. They make all the interiors of these airplanes. These new airplanes that Boeing is coming out with, I've read many reports on them, and they are just miraculous. I mean, they're carbon fiber, they're much more efficient, just a better experience for the passenger.
All right, 297-5633-877-217-5757. Inkster Show at WRKF.org for Andy Anderson, a financial analyst whose company, based on the Money Manager Review of U.S. companies in the third quarter, finished second in the nation behind a company called Scarecrow Trading.
Yeah, I know.
So you're one step behind.
I think we're going to jump to first in fourth quarter.
All right. Well, it's been a good year for Andy and for people in general. You could throw at a dartboard and probably have done well in 2013. Now Apple, the much ballyhooed Apple, which became the much maligned Apple, it got up to 705, went back down to 385, and now is back up to 561 this morning. Apple continues to come back to an area not so far from where it was. Is it going to keep going, or is it going to pull back?
I just think there's better opportunities. I mean, we're talking about a $400 billion company now. I mean, Steve Jobs is gone. I would be looking around. I think I would not necessarily. I think Apple had its days, and maybe they'll invent something new in the future that'll make them an $800 billion company. But I would be looking around. And, you know, I think the real important question right now, Jim, is that are we in the beginning stages of a long-term bull market? Which my personal opinion is that we are. And I'm talking about a bull market that will last 10, 15 years. I will take it another step. I think that if individual investors, and I see, I talk to other money managers around the country. I have three in particular I talk to, and we're not seeing the individual investor coming into this market like we think they should be. And I really think that if people don't start paying more attention to the stock market, that they could really have their financial life in jeopardy in the next 10 years. I think it's going to be a very important 10-year period going forward here.
297-5633. I'm looking at Apple, based on the gains of late, is now back up to a $504 billion market value, which is the highest in the world, $504 billion. To put it in perspective, Microsoft is, let's see, $312 billion.
Right. Exxon, probably, what, about $400
billion? $440 billion.
Yeah. You know, you start
Tesla,
getting...
Tesla, $18
billion. Right. Look, the whole bottom line is you got to find something good and get there for the next guy. And so, like I said, with Tesla, even though it's an $18 billion... Now, by the way, there are rumors that Ford or General Motors may try to buy Tesla.
Well, if that's the case, the stock will go...
It'll go up, but I think I kind of... I'm just keeping a close eye on it. I'm not going to buy the stock right now.
So you sold at 180.
Right.
Bought at 56. So you got about triple.
Yeah, we tripled our money in the stock.
Okay. Netflix for 2014, can it keep going up?
Yeah, you know, I think Netflix is in a unique position where they could raise prices. That's a very unique position to be in. Their major competition, though, is Amazon. Amazon is getting very involved in streaming video. Now, realize that Netflix has about 40 million subscribers. That number, I'll say this much. First quarter for Netflix, earnings are projected to be up 400% over last year. Second quarter of 14, earnings are projected to be up over 1,400%. So, I mean, we're talking about a company that's hitting it on all cylinders. So I would hang in there with Netflix if I owned it.
Even though it went up 300%.
Oh, that's just telling you that there's something there.
When a stock starts pulling back after these big gains, at what point do you say enough? Do you have a formula?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's all about statistics. And, you know, the sell decision is such a hard decision. You know, like when I decided to sell Apple up around 700, that was just, gosh, that was a difficult decision. But you just got to make it. And I think one thing that we do that makes a lot of sense, we do technical analysis and we look at trend lines. And if we start to see unusual activity in a stock where we're seeing a lot of volume and the volume is to the downside and it's breaking trend lines, we'll go ahead and exit that position, watch, and we always know we can buy the stock back.
All right, 297-5633 is your number. We shall return with Andy Anderson and look ahead to 2014 and recap 2013, which overall, counting the Dow Jones, the Standard & Poor's 500, and NASDAQ, best year on Wall Street since 1995. We will return with the Wolf of Wall Street, Andy Anderson. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and Happy New Year to everybody as we get ready for a celebration in our community and all across the United States and the world as we begin 2014, and we're looking back at 2013 on Wall Street, and it was a good year. Dow had its best year since 96, and overall the markets had their best year since 1995. That was during the heyday of William Jefferson Clinton. Dow Jones Industrial Average during his 8 years in office more than tripled. More than tripled. To put it in perspective, in order for that to happen now, in another 8 years, the Dow would be at about 50,000.
Well, Jim, I love the fact that you like to use your imagination, because I think you got to have the right attitude about this. Let's take it another step. The Dow hit 1,000 in 1982 for the first time since 66, then proceeded to climb to 12,000. So it went up 12-fold.
And it did that, well, it was about 11,000 when Clinton left.
And, you know, okay.
So well, that, and he left in 2000, so 2001. So in 20 years, it went up 11 times.
Yeah. I mean, so. I mean, all I'm saying is that we ended the bear market that started in 2000. We ended the bear market in 2009, made the low of around 6,000-7,000. Does that mean that we go to 70,000? I mean, use your imagination.
Well, if it were consistent with what happened in the 8 years of Bill Clinton, the Dow 8 years from now would be over 50,000.
Look, my greatest concern is that so many people are sitting in these bond funds and in these bonds and sitting in cash. There's over $14 trillion in money market funds right now. And, you know, it's just there's so much fear. When I talk to investors, they're all hung up on safety. They're all hung up on being conservative. Look, everybody's conservative. If you were to get a room full of people and say, raise your hands as to who's conservative, just about everybody in the room would raise their hand. But the thing that you've got to just get straight is that the word speculation, which the Latin word is speculare, which means to see the future, you've got to look to the future. You've got to invest in the future of your country.
All right, listener notes that on a previous appearance on this show, you mentioned 3D printing. How is it doing?
It's doing really well. That's going to be an interesting industry.
Do you have that one?
No, we don't own 3D. We did own it. We're another one we're watching. We're watching several of them. We're watching another company called Stratasys, and we're watching another company, Proto Labs. There's several companies in the business. I think Hewlett-Packard's going to get involved in this.
All right, 3D printing is DDD, right?
That's correct.
All right, it's 92.79.
It's been a good stock.
So it's
been a good investment.
But almost all stocks have gone up this year, although they're, as usual, if you got some bad ones, there are some who did not fare well this year.
Well, I'll mention one name. I'm really excited about what's going on in the travel industry. I think there's going to be a lot of disruption in the lodging industry. And I would be looking at a company called HomeAway, which is one we own, and we're up about 10% on it. And they are. What's happening is that anything that has to do with the iPhone or the iPad, where you can use an application to access the service, that like Netflix, like Facebook, like Google. All this stuff is really what's hot. And HomeAway is where you can get on your iPhone and rent a house. They have roughly 700,000 listings worldwide, and you can rent a house using your iPhone for a vacation. And in fact, I'm taking the kids to Taos, New Mexico, in March, and I actually rented a house for $150 a night in downtown Taos, and it's a beautiful home that'll sleep eight people.
Okay, 297-5633. 3D Systems, the maker of 3D, remains on the watch list. I'm reading from a Wall Street report after a volatile week that saw the stock gain 5.2% on Monday, lose 5.3% on Tuesday, only to surge 7% on Thursday.
See, that's one of the reasons we don't own it. It's just too volatile right now.
All right, Tesla. Speculation is increasing. This is fresh off the press that the automaker could be bought in 2014 by Ford or General Motors.
Exactly the rumor we've been hearing.
All right. So
and we've also heard Apple, and we've also heard Google.
What?
Look, the company.
Buying a car? Car maker?
Yeah. I mean, we're talking technology here. I mean, I own the car. Until you drive this thing, you really don't understand it. And I think Kevin would agree with me that the car just is so safe. It's just a safe-feeling automobile. It just handles so well. So I think it's going places.
Twitter. One market analyst has cut its rating on Twitter to underperform from neutral, saying there's nothing to justify a 40% run-up for the stock since December 11th.
Well, we have been in a hot IPO market, and Twitter was a hot IPO. I'm going with Facebook. We own Facebook. And Facebook was one of the top-performing stocks last year as well.
And it didn't do as well in the initial public offering.
No. In fact, I had many calls from clients and friends saying, should I buy the IPO? And I have a kind of a standard rule on that. I never buy an IPO. I always wait 6 months, at least 6 months after the stock is out, just to kind of get a feel for the volume, get a feel for the trend. And we saw Facebook come out. We just thought it was way too hyped. And so we waited. But the numbers on Facebook are really good. I mean, their projection growth rate is 30 to 40 to 50% a year for the next, well, at least the next year.
All right. Question from Micah about oil and gas stocks, in particular Exxon. Is this a good time to dive in there?
That's just not an area that I'm competent to speak on. I think Exxon has run up here recently because the price of oil has moved up. Also, it was announced that Warren Buffett did buy a major position in Exxon. Look, I can't say anything about Exxon. It put me through college.
Here's one for you. Berkshire Hathaway, that's Warren Buffett's company.
I think that's an unbelievable story. I want to say Berkshire started out around 1966, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I will say that Warren Buffett made 75% of his returns in only five investments, and that's what a lot of people don't understand about him. He has been documented as being the greatest investor of all time. And the real perplexing question, there's a book out on this called The Buffett Way, and the main question that the book raises is, why don't more people do it this way? You know, and you watch this show like Wall Street, this movie that just came out, The Wolf of Wall Street, where everybody's doing penny stocks. Warren Buffett wouldn't do penny stocks, you know? And so what Buffett is saying in the book, The Buffett Way, which is on my, by the way, B.F. Anderson and Company has a webpage, and we have a recommended reading list. So if you want to go find this book, it's on the reading list. But anyway, Buffett just basically says there's only really two ways to invest. One would be indexing, using index mutual funds, such as an S&P 500 index fund, where you dollar cost average. But then his second way, which is what we do, which is called focus investing, which is where you zero in on your best ideas. You see, what's amazing about mutual funds, and there's 10,000 of them out there, over 90% of them since 1988 have underperformed the market.
Okay, well, here's the development of late regarding Berkshire Hathaway. Agreed to a $1.4 billion deal to acquire a Phillips 66 unit that specializes in maximizing the flow potential of pipelines as the energy and refining giant continues to reshape its portfolio. And this is not a new move by Buffett and crew. Berkshire got involved with Exxon last year,
right,
acquiring a $3.7 billion stake last month. Cut its stake in ConocoPhillips by 20 million shares to about 3.5 million. But shares of Phillips 66 rose 1% in the early going. And I would imagine it might go up a bit more if this is if this happens.
You know, well, if you bring in the energy picture, which your caller's question revolves around, is you can't ignore the shale technology that is just totally changing the whole landscape of the energy industry here. I mean, the U.S. is going to become an exporter of energy. So I would definitely be investing in the shale industry. I know Exxon has done that. Exxon bought a company called XTO, which is a shale producer, natural gas producer primarily. But Buffett's buying into it. He's buying into he bought Union Pacific. Well, they haul oil, you know, out of the Bacon Field out of North Dakota.
Okay. 297-5633 is your number. Now, Andy is bullish on the market, not only for the 2014, but for the years to come. And most of the analysts are saying the market's momentum should carry into early next year. But they're also saying that there's going to be an inevitable correction. Will it be shallow or will it be deep?
But, you know, that's a coin flip. What I tell people all the time is make this a way of life. And the main thing to focus on is corporate earnings. I believe that over the last 50 years, if all you did was focus on corporate earnings, you'd come out smelling like a rose. And Buffett would take it to the next step because he's saying not only should you look at the growth rate, but you should look at the quality of the earnings, which would be measured by return on equity.
297-5633. Andy Anderson has been on this program several times over the last many years and frequently has been on with Iyad Esbahi, who's, of course, a hedge fund trader. And Andy has voiced his dislike for that form of trading. But I would imagine those people had a pretty good year, too.
Well, I mean, if you're short, you didn't. I mean, in those guys, that's what it's all about, going short. Never short a bull market. Never short a bull market.
Well, I don't know if that's all they do.
Well, you're right. But I'm just saying that the hedge fund industry was responsible, in my opinion, for a lot of the problems we had in 2008. And it devastated my industry. And I saw, well, you know.
Yeah, the Dow went down to, what, 6,500 at one point, didn't it?
It was a tough period.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get any tougher.
But at 6,500, there weren't a lot of people saying buy, buy, buy. But if you had bought at 6,500 collectively, and the Dow's at over 16,000 now, you would be doing pretty well.
If you made it a way of life, then you just went through it. You know, you've got to believe in the future of your country. And the United States of America is by far the greatest place in the world to live, and you should be honored that you have the opportunity to invest in these companies.
But you've said it's un-American to sell short.
Oh, absolutely. I think it misses the whole point. I mean, the point is that we want to create capital for new companies, new entrepreneurs like Elon Musk, to get out there and build companies so that they create jobs. So when you get these short sellers in there, all they do is confuse people because they create so much volatility. It misses the point.
And for those who are unfamiliar, is selling short, which sometimes people in your line of work do too. And it's not just something that hedge fund people
it's
do.
It's casino stuff.
But you're betting, like for now, you know, big run-up with Netflix. Somebody might sell that short and then get right back in and try to catch it at the right time.
Well, you know, if that's what they want to do.
But isn't this the biggest gambling casino in the world?
You know, it's speculation, Jim, and speculation is different from gambling. Speculation is where you have information, where you have studied, you have a strategy. You know, with gambling, it's just there's no information. You just throw the dice.
I don't know about that. Well, people who gamble on football games, sometimes they're very analytical
okay.
about
it's gambling. It's gambling.
David LSU. Hi, Dave. You're on with
Andy. Good morning, both of you.
Thank you.
I make a small correction. Berkshire did not purchase Union Pacific. About 4 years ago, they purchased Burlington Northern Santa Fe, the main competition to Union Pacific.
Yeah, that's right. You're correct. I was
thank
wrong.
You. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Dave. There's a guy who
yeah.
follows
well,
this
I,
stuff.
Well, I had my railroads wrong.
Now, Berkshire Hathaway, what is it selling at right now? It's
Jim, I don't know. It's been a
you know,
fantastic
just for
investment.
One share, it costs thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So how can the average, you know, here's Warren Buffett, who's a kind of a populist, but he has a stock that you got to have some fairly substantial resources to buy one share.
Yes, trading for, $177,382 a share.
That's one share.
Yeah, it's actually up $312 today.
$177,000 for yeah. one share.
By far, so if you go back and look at investing, you would have been really smart to have jumped on Berkshire.
Oh, yeah. I remember when it was like at 19,000. But it's $177,000
yeah,
now for
that's the quote I just
for
got.
One share.
That's the quote I just got. I mean, unless I'm getting the, I mean, I might it's BR.
No, I think you're right.
K.A.
I think
is
you're
the
right.
symbol I'm looking at. 177,382. Look, there's no denying it. Warren Buffett is somebody you should be reading about and studying, and then ask yourself the question: why aren't I doing it this way? As I really think there are a lot of people that would benefit from what they can learn from Buffett.
Buffett goes against the grain sometimes. For example, he started buying shares in newspapers this year, too. Mm-hmm. And some people said, you know, you're out of your mind to do that.
You know.
But he's like you. He's a patriot. He believes in newspapers. He wants them to succeed. Is he blinded by his affinity for the industry?
Look. I just believe that if you look at Warren Buffett or you look at a Peter Lynch, you've got to go back to their early years because that's where they made all their money. You know, Peter Lynch started out with $18 million under management in 1976, And when he retired in 1990, he had $14 billion under management. So when you're small, you see, less is good. Less is good in this business. And so when you're a small manager like we are, you can get involved in things in a big way, like a Netflix or like a Facebook or whatever. But when you look at Buffett's situation now, where he's managing, gosh, I guess it's $1 trillion. I'd have to look it up. But when you get that big, and like Lynch will tell you, the reason he retired in 1990 was that he knew at $14 billion that he just couldn't keep it up anymore.
Well, Andy Anderson's had a good year, as have many others who are in this industry. And as your portfolio has gone up, your weight has gone down.
Yeah,
it's a much slimmer Andy Anderson in
thank
the studio
God.
Today. How much weight have you lost?
I have to thank Hiller Moore for that. I ran into Hiller one day, and he'd lost about 35 pounds, and I asked him what he did, and he went on this diet that I got on. And
he was on Ideal Protein.
Ideal Protein. I have to tell you, thanks to Spectrum Fitness, I appreciate them helping me.
Well, we hope 2014 brings less weight and more stock value for Andy Anderson and the rest of us.
Like I say, make it a way of life.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Jim.
Happy
Appreciate
New Year
it.
To you.
Okay.
And we shall be back tomorrow with John Word of The Advocate on the year in entertainment. For Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.